Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio for quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. In quarter number three, we are going to take a look ahead at the Penn State-Michigan game. Quarter number three, it's brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club for the best barbecue sauces and rubs. You've got to go to 409tailgateclub.com. Again, that's 409tailgateclub.com. I'm Jim Galante, sitting in for Dustin. With me is Greg Pickle. You ready to talk Michigan, Greg?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, first of all, in the quick overview, Michigan lost to Notre Dame in the opener, a close game. And I think there was a bit of, well, here we go again, Harbaugh, Michigan, they're not going to have turned that corner. And lo and behold, they haven't lost since.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's not like they're lighting the world on fire. I knew that the passing offense was not necessarily great, but it's 91st in the country, Jim. They average just a little bit over 200 yards a game in the air. So I think what you're going to see here, there's no doubt about it, is that Penn State's going to try and shut down the rushing attack, the Michigan Wolverines, and say, hey, Shea Patterson, go ahead and try and beat us and see if he can. And there's times when he's looked like a really good quarterback capable of doing that, and then there's just times he doesn't look like that guy at all.
Well, now, here are his numbers. He's passing at 67%,
yep.
Total of 1,500 yards. It's over 8 yards per attempt, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Now, that's not lighting the world on fire with the volume of it, but the numbers, they're not bad.
No.
My question is, I know he didn't look great first game, Notre Dame. How has he done going forward?
Well, I mean, you go back and look at his game logs, and again, I mean, it's a little bit of it's hard to piece this guy together. It really is because, you know, again, there's games where he comes out and he looks like just the kind of guy that's capable of really beating you in the submission. You know, he's 20 of 30 for 227, as you mentioned, against Notre Dame. Since that day, he has not completed anywhere close to 20 passes, except for a day with 19 of 27 against Maryland for 3 touchdowns and a pick. I think the one word that comes to mind when I watch Shea Patterson is just efficient, Jim. I mean, he finds a way to win even when he's not having his best game. I mean, 15 of 22 at Nebraska for 120 yards, they find a way to win. 14 of 21 for 124 yards against Wisconsin, they find a way to win. Even against Michigan State, which may have been his best game, he was still just 14 of 25 for 212 yards. So you can expect to see him throw it 20, 25 times a game. He's going to complete about half of those passes, and they're going to hope that their defense and their rush attack can win the game from there.
But isn't that the way Jim Harbaugh wants it, though?
Yep, absolutely. No, there's no question. I mean, that's exactly how Jim Harbaugh wants it. He wants everything to be revolved around his defense, and basically they're just not going to put Shea Patterson in position to lose a game for them. Now, I don't know if he can win a game for him, but I can almost guarantee you that as soon as they get a lead, they're going to start running the ball, I formation, power football, just like the old days, and let the chips fall where they may. If they run the clock out, great. If they run for a touchdown, great. If not, they're going to take it out of the flare, out of the football, let their terrific defense come back on the field and see what happens.
When you talk about a team like that, and we look back at Penn State over the last couple weeks where Indiana has the ball for 100 snaps. Iowa has the ball for 88 snaps. Another team that would like to do similar. They want to control the ball,
right?
Time of possession, all of that. Is that a good or bad matchup for Penn State?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think that Penn State obviously doesn't want its defense to play that many plays again, but you know what? Michigan's really good at limiting the explosive play, which I think is a problem because Penn State's going to have to find a way around that. They're also going to have to find a way to get their passing game going against the nation's best top-ranked pass defense. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are not built for Penn State to win this game. And I think the other problem, too, again, is that this defense has played a lot of snaps. We've talked about the lot, Jim, 188 in the last 2 weeks. I mean, at some point, you just fear guys hit a wall, or you know, you start playing your backups more because your guys are tired, and then your backups give up some touchdowns or easy yards, and before you know it, things start to snowball out of control. But Michigan's not an explosive offense, and I think that'll keep Penn State in this game for the long haul.
Well, also, do you look at this game, or will Penn State coaches look at this game
uh-huh.
as they play teams like Indiana, even Iowa. I think Penn State feels we're the better team. We don't have to do anything special.
Right.
They can't be thinking that going into Michigan and at Michigan.
Right.
Will we see them? Will we see something new? Will we see them pulling out the stops? Will we see them playing to win?
I think so. I mean, I think they better come up with a better fake punt than the one Blake Gillikin ran against Michigan State. That was just horrendous. But yeah, I mean, I think that this is the kind of game where you try and go, you know, maybe change some things that you don't normally do. Get out of your tendencies a little bit. When it doesn't have to be fakes necessarily. It can be, you know, the way that you go about first and second down to try and change some things for third down. It can be a little bit of anything, really, to try and show Michigan something you haven't shown anybody else before. Maybe catch them a little bit off guard because the bye week gave them a chance. Michigan comes into this game off a bye. That gave them a chance to really scout Penn State deep and then watch, obviously, against Iowa and pick up some more tendencies there. So, to me, Jim, I think that the biggest thing Penn State has to do is, you're right, play to win, pull out some stops, see if you can get Michigan into some bad situations and back them up. Because if you back them up and they try and run the ball, they're just going to continue to run the ball. And you might win the field position game doing that, which might give you a chance to get some easy points.
And with that being the case, will we see the Lion?
I guess so. Yeah, you know what? I don't know about. Like, I guess we're just bypassing it because he came out and played and he talked to the media after the game. But are we sure Trace McSorley is going to be 100% for this game? I think we'll learn more about it as the week goes on. But Jim, he talks so much after the game about, I had to keep moving, had to keep my leg moving. They kept telling me to keep it moving and keep, you know, getting, you know, keep the blood flowing and all that stuff, keep it loose and not let it get tight and all that. So, guess what? At some point, he had to go to sleep Saturday night. And when he woke up Sunday morning, what did that knee feel like? We don't know the answer to that question, but it's going to be a big part of this game. There's no question about it, because for Penn State, he's obviously the guy that makes them go. But I think we'll see Tommy Stevens, whether it's at the as the Lion or under center, though, is a different question.
And if Trace is immobile, that just takes away so much of his game.
He can't, yeah.
You have to play Tommy Stevens.
You do. I mean, James Franklin said it after the game, but that was the conversation he had with Trace was, if you're going to go in and play, that's great. We want you to play, but you have to be able to do everything. He's like, I can't have you turn into a pro-style passer. That's not the way we work. So, yeah, you need the full package. You need him to be able to move, and if he can't, then you're going to have to go to Tommy Stevens, and you're not really going to have a choice.
All right, so we talked about Shea Patterson a bit, but they also have a pretty good running back who's averaging over 100 yards a game, and that is it Karan Higgin?
Yes.
And he's averaging over 5 yards a carry. That's the guy who's going to carry the load, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You're going to see him line up. And again, they will do what a lot of Penn State fans have been clamoring for a couple of years now, which is, what, Jim? It's fullback, it's I formation, it's under center, and they're going to run and run and run until they, you know, either score or punt. And it's really, there's no way around it. Like we said, there'll be times when they put Shea Patterson out there and they let him throw the ball, but for the most part, they're going to try and run it down your throat and let the chips fall where they may. So it'll be an interesting experience, I think, for Penn State that really hasn't seen any team try and do that is the way Michigan's going to do it. I mean, I obviously saw it last year, but this year's team has not seen that.
All right. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. I'm Jim Galante here with Greg Pickle, and we are brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. Barbecue sauces, rubs, and even wines. For your best tailgate, you got to go to 409tailgateclub.com. All right, we've been talking about their offense, but Michigan's calling card, it's the defense, right?
Yeah.
They allowed 24 points to Notre Dame. That's the highest number they've allowed all season, I believe.
Right.
So it doesn't look like you're going to score a lot of points on them.
No, I don't think so. But you know what? In picking this game, which I guess we'll do here in just a little bit, it was really hard for me to put aside. Because what has Penn State's tendency been? Even last year, this defense, Michigan defense, was said to be this killer. And it really, Jim, it wasn't. It just was not And it's said to be that again this year, and it looks like it. But Penn State, again, they have some guys that can strike quick. They have some guys that can score quick, like K.J. Hamler, like Jahan Dotson. So, I don't know, man. There is a part of me that thinks Penn State might be able to put up some points here, but it's not going to be easy, and they're not going to come in bunches, I don't think. I just think that Michigan, again, will find a way to take the air out of the football and really sort of make it hard for Penn State to consistently be able to score. I could see maybe another decent day for Jake Pinninger coming on the horizon, but ultimately it's going to be very hard to score against these guys because that's what they do. They're built to you know, score, they're built to prevent you from scoring a lot, and then they're not necessarily going to score a lot either, but they're going to score just enough to win while their defense suffocates you over and over and over again.
That's the style that they want to play. Who are the names on Michigan's defense that are the big guys, the big names that we should be looking out
for? I mean, the biggest one to me is whether or not Rashawn Gary plays. It sounds to me like what they've said, that the gigantic defensive lineman for the Wolverines is going to be out again this week. He's missed a couple of games. He has some kind of shoulder problem. Chase Winovich is really the other big name to know. I mean, this guy is just fantastic. He's a Pennsylvania kid that Penn State did recruit but wasn't able to get because he wanted to go play for Don Brown and Michigan. And, you know, he went out there and he's been doing that, and he's been one of their best players. So those are really the two guys I think you're going to hear their name called a ton over the next couple of weeks because this game as well, because that's just who they are. They get into the backfield and they make plays. We'll see if Gary's among that, but Winovich certainly will be. I think one of the biggest problems for Penn State is that Don Brown, the offensive or defensive coordinator for the Wolverines, said last week that he's been waiting for this game since last year and that he thinks about it every single morning. So they're going to be dialing up some things to get guys, in the backfield. Kalik E. Hudson, is another guy that plays some linebacker from them. Devin Bush, Levert Hill's the corner that Penn State, had committed to it at one point. So those are the guys I think they're going to make most of your plays, but they go pretty deep and they rotate guys in as well.
All right, it's time for our predictions, but before we get to that, I just want to point out last week's result.
You won.
I won. I picked 30-24, and I'm sorry, I picked 30-20. It ended up 30-24, so those two safeties did me in.
You did.
I would have had a perfect score.
Unfair.
Right. It's your call here.
Jim, I've changed my pick three different times during this segment. I can't. It's hard for me to lock in what Penn State's going to be able to do offensively. Defensively, I think they're going to run into a wall. They've just played too many snaps, and this team is built to beat you up. I got it 30-17, Michigan.
So you've got it a 13-point spread.
Yep.
You have them beating the spread. So I will point out, coming off a victory,
yep,
my prediction last week, I went against the grain. Most of you guys had Iowa winning. Ross also did. I believe Bob did, yourself. And I'm sure that's going to be the case later this week. So I'm going to pick Penn State to win. That's the homer pick. I just, whenever everything's going off this way, I'm going to, when they're all zigging, you zag, Greg.
There you go.
So I'm going 24-21 Michigan. I'm sorry, 24-21 Penn State, Freudian slip, right? That's it for our Michigan preview. Stick with us. What Grinds Greg's Gears is coming up next.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.